Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to Ace time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. No Sean Pendergast. Brandon Scott in. Sean gets a travel day. Seth does not. Seth is stuck with me today. And
no,
stuck with you. Yeah.
My goodness, I couldn't be more delighted.
Well, you don't get to be like Sean Pendergast and take your travel day. You got to come into work and do radio with your boy.
There was no way in hell I was taking a travel day after I had two days in a row last week where I had travel issues where I just Sean didn't realize he was going to be without a co-host until 30 seconds before the show last week. So you and John Harris and everybody else that helped fill in that regard, I felt great about. But I said, no, the people of Houston will get me on 3 hours of sleep and very little knowledge of anything that happened during my virtually cell phone-less drive home from West Virginia yesterday.
Well, fair enough. I think the people can at least respect that you're dedicated to the work, dedicated to the craft, and kind of making up for it. But update though, you're good. I mean, you're traveling for you as well. You're no longer in West Virginia. That's where y'all have been all week. Seth Payne is good. Seth Payne seems safe and sound from what I can tell.
I'm good, but you know what happened was I did an interview with D'Amico yesterday, so immediately after practice I had to do some editing and whatnot, and we'll play that whole interview at 7 a.m. Yep. Really, I had an enjoyable conversation. I'm not gonna sit here and be like, it was an outstanding interview, because I'm not that guy, Brandon. But I had a really enjoyable conversation with D'Amico, and I think people can see a side of him that they don't typically see. But... So on the drive, I drive a few hours, I stop at a rest area, and I say, okay, I'm just going to do a live stream real quick to, you know, recap what I saw today, including C.J. Gardner-Johnson's injury, which we'll get to in a second. And I say, hey, nobody really knows right now. I know there have been some false reports about what happened to C.J. Gardner-Johnson, and because there was a fake Adam Schefter account that a lot of people got by, and were saying that it was a torn Achilles, and it's definitely not that. And immediately after I get off, there's a report by Aaron Wilson that it was a torn ACL.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, all right, I guess I screwed up that live stream. Then I drive for another couple hours, check my Twitter. No, turns out it's actually not a torn ACL.
Very different from having a torn ACL.
Not having a torn ACL and having an ACL. Look, I don't want to split hairs here, people.
Yeah.
Kind of a big deal.
A little bit. Yeah.
So we really don't know what's going on with C.J. Gardner-Johnson, but then I drive a few more hours, largely without cell phone service, and kids, I never text and drive or scroll and drive or whatever. Not saying I didn't in the past, but I almost died a couple times. So when I check it at a rest area again, Jimmy Ward arrested yesterday. Yeah. As we're trying to figure out how we're going to manage the CJ Gardner-Johnson
injury. A lot of safety news. A lot of safety news yesterday that we weren't expecting.
It doesn't feel so safe anymore.
No.
The safeties are not safe at all.
Yeah. No, the irony of that.
The most endangered species on our football team.
Yeah. So not a great day, but, and you just mentioned it, there was some confusion, but I think it's worth clarifying for the record and for the audience now joining us. That as of right now, our understanding is that C.J. Gardner-Johnson does not have a torn ACL, which, if true, would be good news, right? Mm-hmm. Like the last official update that we got from D'Amico Ryans, I know you got a chance to talk to him after practice, and of course he talked to the assembled media after practice, and we can hear from him in a second. But there was no official word on C.J. Gardner-Johnson, so we were relying on these reports throughout the day, which did get confusing, but it seems like, at least with C.J. Gardner-Johnson, we settled on ACL not torn, timetable not clear. So
right.
Just a bunch of uncertainty, but the good news side of it, not a torn ACL. Like,
not a torn
like
ACL,
as originally feared.
Which there's any number of things that could be just as bad as a torn ACL, but so we don't know for sure exactly what's going on right now. We're in a fog of uncertainty. And and typically you might say, even if Jimmy Ward weren't in his current legal situation, which the allegations of domestic violence, that's obviously the big, big deal. We don't really have a lot of clarification at all or understanding of what he was arrested for recently, sometime within the past couple days, correct?
Yeah, so here's where we are with Jimmy Ward. He's got the domestic violence. That thing is supposed to go. That case is supposed to go to a grand jury very soon. Very mm-hmm. soon. But in between that, he tested positive for like alcohol. Because apparently, as a term of his bail, you're not supposed to consume alcohol, or at least not supposed to test positive for it. He tests positive for alcohol. This is happening in Montgomery County. I do want to note Montgomery County notably strict about, you know, about all of these things. And so that's apparently the reason why he was arrested the second time, this most recent time. It's not a new allegation or like a development with the domestic violence thing. So it's not like contacting the alleged victim or mm-hmm. complaining. It's not harassing. It's not a double offense. It is testing positive for alcohol when you weren't supposed to be drinking it, which is probably better than the worst thing. But given his situation, not a good look when you see on the face of it, arrested twice in the last few months.
No, exactly. And I think it's, at the very least, you'd hope that he's just walking a straight and narrow path as he's trying to dig himself out of the situation or whatever. We don't really know a whole lot other than the initial report and complaint. You are a court reporter, which a lot of people might not know, so you know all the inner workings of this. Is it normal for in a situation like this for it to go to a grand jury? Is that the typical process?
Yeah, no. So they're going to, okay. I mean, they're going to present it to a grand jury. And I think that's there are some quotes out there from Jimmy Ward's lawyer that you can find, Steve Jackson, where like they're of the position that they're going to present something to this grand jury that's going to exonerate him. You know,
do all cases go to a grand jury?
Definitely felony cases.
Felony case. Okay.
Yeah. And there are some misdemeanors that go before a grand jury as well. But okay. Yeah, so this and apparently this one is. So that's the update. Now, the thing that is somewhat interesting about him getting arrested again is like if you're thinking, OK, the domestic violence cases, you know, how that resolves itself is going to determine Jimmy Ward's availability. Now you have this on top of it. I am curious on how like the Texans view the whole thing, not just the simply drinking alcohol or testing positive for alcohol, but testing positive for alcohol while you're on bail for domestic violence when you're not supposed to. Like, it's mm-hmm. all of those things together that make me wonder about what exactly is going to be going on with Jimmy Ward at a time when, by the way, you might actually need another safety or somebody like Jimmy Ward to help you out, given the C.J. Gardner-Johnson news.
It's one of those – it feels kind of like when Richard Sherman was going through that kind of – there was a lot of turmoil towards the end of his career. Remember, yeah. he had an incident at his in-law's house, and he drove through a construction site or sped through a construction site.
Yeah.
And just regardless of what's going on and what happens with the case or what actually happened with the incident, with the alleged domestic violence, it just feels like there's a lot of turmoil. And it doesn't – like the safety position – certainly with C.J. Gardner-Johnson out with an for anybody that saw various reports yesterday, we still really don't know what's going on with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. And then Jimmy Ward, let's say there were no legal issues at all, you can't rely on him to stay healthy for an entire season. He's really been plagued with injuries the last few years. He's in his 30s, so we're really not going to. You know, I think the most clarity we might get on C.J. Gardner-Johnson's injury is if all of a sudden the Texans were to go out and sign somebody like a Justin Simmons or something. And barring that, if they don't sign anybody of note, then maybe we can read into that as, okay, maybe C.J. Gardner-Johnson's injury isn't as bad as feared.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to ask you about. Like, what do you think, from your vantage point, especially as a former defensive player, like, what do you think is the impact of losing a C.J. Gardner-Johnson for an extended period of time? And what would you say is the solution? Obviously, like you mentioned, we don't really know how bad it is. So that how bad it is could also determine what the solution is. But, like, what do you think is the impact of losing a guy like that for an extended period of time?
I think, well, if you think about just Eric Murray, Eric Murray is Eric Murray has never been, I think, as bad as a lot of people felt he was.
It's no, just that he was attached to the regime.
Yeah, he was signed and overpaid initially. Yeah. I mean, they paid him like he was a starting cornerback,
which is what that regime did. That was their thing, right?
Yeah. But then, Caserio did re-sign him after Bill O'Brien was gone. Eric Murray provided a veteran presence back there. He just wasn't the ideal safety. I think that you're put in a position there where you have MJ Stewart, who's been on the team for a while. Russ Yeast, who I like, if only because he seems to scuffle it up a lot. He's got the right dog mentality. He's got the swarm part down. I don't know how great of a safety he is. And then the rookie, Jalen Reed, who's definitely very swarm mentality, but also a sixth-round pick. I don't feel awesome about it. I don't feel great about this potentially top-three defense. It was going to be better than last year in my eyes, partly because they had a playmaker alongside Kalen Bullock, and that almost to the point where, people love to say you can't really depend on turnovers from one year to the next. The Texans do a lot of things that are not just dumb luck when it comes to forcing turnovers. They get a great pass rush, and they have guys who have great ball skills in the secondary. You go back to the Bears back in the day. It wasn't random chance that Peanut Tillman forced a lot of turnovers. He had a knack for it. And there's a lot of guys on the Texans defense that have a knack for it, but C.J. Gardner-Johnson has an extreme knack for it. And that's what you're probably not going to – you're not going to go out and find anybody right now in the league via trade or at the cuts or anything else. It's going to be quite like C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Yeah, I don't pretend to have the solution on hand. What I do hope is that there is an in-house solution at safety that doesn't require them to mess with Jalen Petrie's position. Right, like I don't.
Oh,
and
have him go back and play safety.
Like I don't want it to be Jalen Petrie's back at safety, and they figure out nickel, or maybe they're playing more with three linebackers, or like changing the way that they play because of this is what I hope doesn't happen. That there is, like, whether it's MJ Stewart or one of these younger guys that could come in and play safety, or if it's them going to go sign somebody. What I don't want to see happen is them kind of reconfigure what they do and put Jalen Petrie outside of the role that he's been playing over the last – or the role that he played last year in his first year, kind of changing from safety to nickel corner. I like what that allows their defense to do. I would hate for them to have to change what they do like that.
Yeah, and, Justin Simmons, because that's the name that comes up immediately, and we talked about him all last season because people wanted Justin Simmons. The one thing to know is that he didn't play like his typical self last year. And he's not old. He's 31 or 32 years old. The question, I think, would be, okay, when Caserio and D'Amico watched the film of him last year, how much of it was just that it was in a different scheme and it wasn't comfortable versus how much of it was that, okay, he was starting to show the signs of age?
Yeah, and honestly, him still being available kind of concerns me at this point. Like, maybe it's a gift and a curse, but I don't know. His mere availability on August 8th,
It would be for different reasons. Earl Thomas, there were reasons that he was so available at the end of his career. Yeah, people were adamant that the Texans needed to sign Earl Thomas. And meanwhile, the Baltimore Ravens players voted him off the team.
Yeah.
And then nobody else in the league wanted Earl Thomas. So I was cool with it. Justin Simmons doesn't have that same kind of drama attached to him. But So, yeah, you always got to wonder, okay, what's the reason that 31 other teams haven't signed him at this point? Is he just waiting until he finds the right situation, or is there something more to it?
Brandon Scott in for Sean Pendergast. It wasn't just the C.J. Gardner-Johnson injury yesterday. They also scrimmaged. So what else happened at the Texans scrimmage yesterday? We'll talk about that next.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer. How laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature. With over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Brandon Scott in with Seth Payne. I'm in for Sean Pendergast today as he takes his travel day. And we just got done talking about the C.J. Gardner-Johnson news injury situation yesterday. And I guess a little bit of a sigh of relief that it perhaps is not as bad as initially thought. We still have to kind of figure that out. But that's not all that happened at yesterday's practice. It was actually a scrimmage day for the Texans, their final day at the Greenbrier in West Virginia before their first preseason game against the Minnesota Vikings. And more than just that injury happened, Seth. And so I think that the audience at least deserves to hear a little bit about the takeaways from yesterday. What did the people on the ground, like yourself, Sean yep. Pendergast, and others, who all the folks that you guys follow, the folks that were out there watching this practice, there were a few things that I noticed that were reported, and I'm interested to get your thoughts on. I would start with the offensive line having a pretty good day, or seemingly having a pretty good day. I'm interested in your vantage point, if that translated to what you saw out there.
I think if we think about the offensive line over the last 2 days in West Virginia, so they practiced in pads on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. On Monday, it was a quagmire out there, and there were just interception after interception after interception, sack after sack after sack. It was really, really ugly. Tuesday it came out, and it wasn't great, but wasn't awful. They had made some improvement. But the big thing I noticed on Tuesday was that the offensive line multiple times got really good push in the run game. So we saw Nick Chubb at times look a lot more like, okay, this is a guy that I know he's not the same as he used to be, or he's not 100% back from that really devastating knee injury 2 years ago. Then he had a broken foot last year as well. but he hasn't looked as explosive. But you could see when he had good blocking in front of him, the vision and the strength, the power, all of that stuff's still there. So I was encouraged by that. You go to yesterday's scrimmage slash practice, and we saw more examples of the offensive line getting good push. And I'm not even worried about necessarily which individuals were in there at that time. Drew Scruggs was playing right guard a lot because Titus Howard was out at tackle. But the sum total of it was that, and I would include the tight ends in this, Cade Stover was downfield blocking guys on some good productive runs. I saw plays that, you know, in those situations where it's not tackle, you can never tell really whether, okay, would that have been a 4-yard gain, a 7-yard gain up on an inside run? But it was definitely a good run. You're running inside, you're double teaming the defensive tackles, you're getting up to the backers, and it was at least 5 yards on just a kind of a moving rugby scrum, rugby ruck type of scenario. And that's not something we necessarily saw in the first couple weeks. The other part of that, too, is that I think it started to pay dividends in the passing game. Because yesterday, for the most examples I think I saw of those 3 days in West Virginia, we saw the most examples yesterday of wide open receivers. You know, Nico Collins was wide open in the end zone. Dalton Schultz was wide open in the end zone. Those things that happen when you get the play action going, when you've got a certain element of physicality to your offensive line. The downside of it was that there was two consecutive plays. CJ hit Nico Collins, and Nico Collins dropped it. I'm not worried about that because, you know, Nico's going to drop a ball or two here or there. I don't think all of a sudden he lost his ability to catch the football. The next play after that, there was a misfire, and, you know, it looked like CJ didn't have good touch on the throw, and Dalton Schultz couldn't get the ball. I don't know if there was a timing issue or whatever. But he also made some other nice throws downfield in that scrimmage. That it makes me a lot more comfortable, Brandon. At this point, I'm more comfortable saying, all right, some of CJ's inaccuracy, I can chalk it up to just this being a brand new system, them asking CJ to do a lot more before the snap, be a little bit more disciplined in going through his progressions, all of those finer aspects of the game, that I think CJ's just, I think he's thinking his way through things right now. And sometimes that ends up being, when the whole process is off, you're not going to be as accurate as you usually are. And meanwhile, you're doing it against a really good defense. Yesterday, I think we saw more, like if I had walked out there yesterday and hadn't known anything about the previous practices and training camp, and I watched CJ, I wouldn't have been concerned. You know, I'd have been like, okay, it wasn't an awesome day, but like, yeah, it looks like they're working through some things and they made some really nice throws. It had a couple of throws that were off, but there were some great. Cade Stover had a nice catch at one point that he had kind of had to dive for. There was good run blocking. I think the defense still looked more impressive than the offense on the sum total of it. But if I had just walked out there knowing nothing at all, there's no part of me that would have said, oh, is there something off with CJ? I'm not quite sure.
So I've been trying to sell myself on the offensive line, and even more so than that, I like to hear from guys like you and folks that have been out there that they're moving bodies and creating space in the run game, because I think that was an underrated issue for the offense last year, was how much that I think that just Joe Mixon's sheer ability and badassness made up for the fact that they weren't really good. A lot of attention was paid for or paid to them not being good in pass protection and C.J. Stroud running for his life or picking him up off the ground and all that kind of thing. But they weren't really that good in creating space in the run game either. And it wasn't just the offensive line. It was also, and you do a good job of talking about this, Seth, it was also just the offense overall in general, from scheme, play call to actual execution out, yeah. Like aside
and
from
tight ends, yeah. Blocking, all wide receivers blocking. I know we hated the wide receiver screens. One of the reasons also that you should hate them was that there'd be two wide receivers out there not blocking anybody or knowing who they were supposed to block last year.
So based off of what I'm seeing from camp, I do feel a lot better about how they're doing so far, what the progress is with that. The thing that I have been a little bit worried about or just not really sure what to make of, that's why it's kind of good to hear from you talking about the level of concern, if any, there is for CJ Stroud, is like, okay, the defense is kind of kicking the offense's ass. The offense is kind of figuring things out. But it's like every practice I hear about CJ Stroud pick here, CJ Stroud misfire here. Like, I'm not at every practice. I've only been to a handful, and obviously I did not go to West Virginia. But I'm just like, has CJ been crisp? I'm not worried about him. I'd still bank on him. I'd still bet on him. I'm still excited about him as the quarterback for the Texans. But just isolated in training camp, I'm like, has he been good? Is everything cool or what?
I think, right, and it's 100% it's the right response to have. It's the natural response. And we were talking with Ron and Clint the other day, and, you know, if you're nervous about CJ at this point, there's nothing I can tell you, because it's valid. It's valid that you want to see CJ look like peak CJ. But if you can think of it in terms of maybe a golfer changing his swing. Think about Tiger Woods and the multiple times he changed his swing.
Yeah.
When you change something drastically, Tiger Woods, when he was changing his swing, people would wonder, what happened to the old Tiger? And it's glitchy at first. Yeah, everything's a little bit different. And eventually it takes hold. But if you really commit yourself to doing something differently, and that's what CJ's doing with this offense, his whole process is a lot different than it was the previous 2 years. It's going to be glitchy. So I'm comfortable knowing that in my brain, but the hard part is, okay, that's great if that's what's actually going on, but until you actually see the results and the outcome, you know, you want to see the proof in the pudding, and right now we're puddingless. So it's going to be kind of tense until we get our damn pudding.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, I think that, At the very least, the offensive line got some recognition, some attaboys yesterday. This was D'Amico Ryans talking about the Texans offensive line and how they performed in this scrimmage at Texans training camp yesterday.
Yeah, offensive line, I mean, overall these past couple of days, they continue to get better and better and better. They've done a great job of, you know, picking up some of the pressures, done a great job just one-on-one protection, passing off games, working with each other. I see that progression. I see the growth in our offensive line, and I'm excited to see them actually go out and do it against someone else. But they've done a really great job while we've been here in West Virginia.
You know, I think, you know, D'Amico, he's mastered the coach speak part of things. He's very careful about criticizing at the podium and all of that. But when you kind of see through the coach speak there, I think it's genuine. That's a genuine assessment in terms of them actually showing improvement this past week. And I'm still nervous about individual players on the offensive line. I don't know if Jake Andrews or Juice Scruggs, if Juice Scruggs starts at right guard. We don't have a lot of great memories of Juice Scruggs starting at right guard. But in the aggregate, what you have to remember is, okay, first and foremost, can this offensive line be improved over last year? And the pre-snap operation, the absence of false starts, or the scarcity of false starts at least right now, is a really good thing. Yesterday, CJ getting up to the line of scrimmage and having ample time to operate and make all of the checks that they're asking him to make this year, he had plenty of time. It was nice that it was a scrimmage situation yesterday, because I could watch the play clock, and CJ is up there well before 10 seconds are left on the play clock. Compared to last year, when we had moments where CJ was coming up to the line, they're trying to get guys lined up while the play clock is dwindling down to 3 or 2 seconds.
Yeah, can't have
that. That hasn't been the case so far. And people might understandably say, like, okay, well, what's the big deal with that? This is the big deal with that. Last year when they played the Vikings, the team that they're going to see on Saturday, they had a sequence where they had four pre-snap penalties in a row. They knocked themselves out of field goal position with no actual football. So have they made improvement? I believe so. And when it comes to playing good fundamental football where guys are on the same page, I think they've made improvement there, especially in the run game. I think it's just you're seeing more of, okay, that's a moving wall of five guys moving forward instead of three guys running outside zone, one guy pulling in the wrong direction, and then one guy pass protecting or something. We had so many plays last year where I'd look at the offensive line and I'm like, these guys look like they're running five separate plays. I don't know if anybody knows exactly what's supposed to be going on here. It doesn't look like that right now.
Oh, they looked lost often last
right.
year. Like lost and discombobulated, disjointed, poor communication, however you want to characterize it. They did not feel like a unit. So credit to them for like actually looking like a unit. I'm going to give them their credit and give them their flowers for, you know, the last couple of days and what they've shown since they got to West Virginia and all of that's cool. I will say this, though. The thing that's concerned me is the domino effect of Blake Fisher either not being playable or working through something or whatever it exactly is. I didn't expect that, you know, Blake Fisher would have an impact on the guard situation, because apparently the way it works is that if a tackle goes down, then Tytus Howard is now your replacement tackle, and that then thrust into the spotlight Juice Scruggs and Ed Ingram, and now you've got the pillow fight of Scruggs and Ingram for backup guard, which, you know, ideally if your tackle goes down, you just have another tackle in Blake Fisher, and Tytus Howard can stay at guard if that's what your solution at guard is supposed to be. But I don't like this domino effect along the offensive line when, you know, you got a tackle that you probably don't have a lot of faith in at this point.
It almost feels like it's like you've got a bum spark plug in an engine, and all of a sudden you realize you can only replace it with a cookie.
Yeah,
it just, okay, I don't know if everything's, is that functioning all that properly, and I don't know what I'm gonna do about it. I've got a cookie. Will that work as a spark plug?
No.
The concerns about the depth became glaring that day that Tytus Howard moved out to right tackle.
Yeah,
I think that
I didn't know we were still doing that.
That day, well, I assumed that they were going to look at Tytus Howard as, yes, this is a guy that we want on the field, and depending on who's injured and who's available or who stinks, we're gonna have him play right guard or right tackle. And the interesting thing about the day that Cam Robinson went down was they had come out with Cam Robinson running with the twos, so it wasn't just. I think they were gonna try out Tytus Howard at right tackle anyway that day, and they're gonna shuffle some things around. And it might be as simple as this, Brandon. Tytus Howard the first couple of weeks was playing a whole lot of right guard, and then I think maybe they feel comfortable with that. But now they got to get down to the business of figuring out who their interior offensive linemen are, and they want to get a feel for, all right, who are we gonna keep as the go-to swing interior offensive linemen. We got to just kind of figure out, give as many guys as possible reps at the right guard position so you can have a genuine competition between perhaps Ed Ingram and Juice Scruggs. And so I'm trying not to read too much into all of that, but it was kind of an indicator and a reminder that, oh, yeah, this is there. As far as the individuals go, we still got a lot of question marks about these guys.
He said, Payne, I am Brandon Scott in for Sean Pendergast. Let's do headlines next. We got a C.J. Gardner-Johnson injury update, Nick Chubb injury update. The Astros, they're back in action tonight on Apple TV at Yankee Stadium. We'll talk about it all on headlines next on Payne and Pendergast.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurice's, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried-and-true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
Out here, we feel things. The sore calves that lead to epic views. The cool waterfall mist during a hot hike. And the breeze that hits just right at the summit. But hey, don't just listen to us. Experience it for yourself. All Trails makes it easy to discover the best of the outdoors. With more than 450,000 trails around the world, points of interest along the trail, and offline maps for always-on navigation. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines. Presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
All right, Brandon Scott in for Sean Pendergast, rolling along with Seth Payne. Let's go through these headlines. We can start with C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who I'm sure you know by now. And this was happening, I think, as you guys were getting off the air yesterday, Seth. So this is, you know, a good space for the audience, the Payne and Pendergast audience, to be updated on this. C.J. Gardner-Johnson carted off the field during training camp practice yesterday. Of course, there was a scrimmage yesterday. There was some back and forth, some confusion on exactly what the diagnosis was. At this point, it appears that he has avoided an ACL tear, which is good news. We'll see what the actual diagnosis is. But after practice, we did get to hear from D'Amico Ryans reacting to this injury at practice. Here's
D'Amico. Of course, it's heartbreaking when you see a guy go down on the field like that and doesn't get up quickly. So I'm always, you know, nervous as a head coach anytime I see anybody hit the ground. It's tough to watch. So we'll see, you know, we'll evaluate CJ, see where he is, but no update at this time.
So this is the situation when Sean and I were on air. We were with Cal and Hannah, and we had just finished with them. And we just started talking to him a little bit about it after the interview. And all of a sudden, we quick realized everything had gone silent over on the practice. Because the practice field was on the second practice field far away from us. And everybody was, you know, just kind of standing around. So we knew somebody was injured. And as soon as I got over, I talked to Vandermeer first. And I talked to a couple people. And it sounded like C.J. Gardner-Johnson had bumped into John Metchie, or they had bumped into each other. It didn't sound like it was a horrific collision or anything like that, but that he went down, and it was obviously very concerning because everybody was quiet. Everybody was huddled around. They had D'Amico called everybody up, in a huddle after C.J. Gardner-Johnson had been carted off the field, like genuinely carted off the field, not riding in a golf cart like a lot of guys do, and then they resumed practice. So my first thought was when I got over there, you fear it's a spinal thing or something, but it was very clearly a leg injury of some sort. I know a lot of you have seen reports that it was an Achilles or it was a torn ACL. Two things happened there yesterday. One, there were just some completely bogus accounts reporting that it was an Achilles, and those went viral for whatever reason. And then there was another report that it was a torn ACL, and that was quickly clarified or rectified by others in the media saying that it's not, I don't know who initially reported that it's not an ACL, but we just don't know. We don't know right now exactly how bad it is, and because of that, we don't know whether going out and getting Justin Simmons or somebody else is the appropriate move at this time.
Yeah, and to be fair to Aaron Wilson, because that's the one who reported the torn ACL, he did retract, go back, so like,
yeah.
There were others who clarified that report, and these things are like kind of, it's really tough to get these things. That's why I joked about it earlier, like, hey, torn ACL, not torn ACL, very different, you know.
Yeah.
as hard as this is sometimes to get right, those two things are very different. But he did go back, and it looks like the record is pretty clear on what it's not. We don't know what it is, but we know what it's not.
I saw some people say, hey, is this, are the Texans operating like the Astros with their medical stuff now? No, the Texans didn't do a damn thing wrong here. There was bad reporting, yeah, or mistakes in reporting.
Yeah,
it, some confusion. It sprinkled in with some bogus X accounts as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, look, the good news, though, is, well, we know it's not, but there is still room for disappointment. Right. Like, I don't.
Yeah, there's plenty of other injuries that aren't ACLs that can Isaac Pareda see away. Yeah.
So that part is tough, but, you know, we're wishing the best. Obviously, you know, that complicates the second. This whole idea, we heard Kalen Bullock earlier in training camp saying, you know, I think this could be the best secondary in football. This kind of complicates it a little bit, I think. But, you know, right, they still got some guys.
If you think about it, okay, last year they had a really good secondary, but they had some – the one glitch was that they allowed too many big plays for what you expect out of an elite defense. And, you know, that's all 11 guys got to be better at preventing some of those. But they did it with two rookies and Eric Murray and MJ Stewart. Eric Murray's gone. MJ Stewart is there. But it's not like it one position player being gone for however like long he might be gone for. It's not like that all of a sudden turns the Texans into a bad defense. But it does. It takes away a really exciting and good part of your defense. I'm not saying it's nothing, but it's not a season ender for the season and for the defense in total.
Yeah, for sure. I thought this is an awkward way to say it, but I thought it was, out of all of the significant injuries that they could suffer, out of those, it was probably one of the ones that they could most afford. Right.
The core of your defense, yeah, it's a really good point. As far as your two cornerbacks and your two defensive ends, those guys are really the engine that drive how great this defense is. So far, so good. Fingers crossed, knock on wood. Throw some salt over my shoulder.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so Nick Chubb has not practiced, or at least has not participated in practice since Tuesday. He was not seen out there during Wednesday's walkthrough, but was spotted at yesterday's practice. So, naturally, people are asking about Nick Chubb. What's the status? What exactly is going on? Not a whole lot from D'Amico Ryans, but this is what he had to say.
Oh, Nick will be fine. Nick will be back with us pretty soon.
All right. Good talk.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks, D'Amico. Appreciate it. Hey, appreciate that.
Christian Harris and Damian Pierce look to be on the right track. I didn't expect to see them yesterday. I think I initially did expect, then Sean and I had a conversation after the show where they've been taking it really slow with Christian Harris. So he is out there for a walkthrough, which sounds like no big deal, except that it's a step in the progression for a guy that I think they're trying to be very, very careful with. And he had a mysterious calf injury last year, had setbacks with it. The next step for him would probably be a no-pads practice, and then after that you move on to padded practices. Maybe we'll see him in the joint practice with the Panthers on Thursday. I'm not banking too much on that. But so far, so good with that. Agumba Wale and Woody Marks got a good amount of reps with the ones yesterday. And, you know, Agumba Wale, I think they just love Agumba Wale because they can ask him to do anything. And he's going to give you a serviceable job of it. It's not your ideal. You don't want him necessarily out there as your starting back all season long or anything. But that's what was getting a lot of the reps yesterday in the absence of those other guys.
Yeah, no, I love the value that Dari Agumba Wale provides in terms of his special teams ability. And in a pinch, like you mentioned, as a depth piece, he can run the rock for you a little bit as well. But you tell me, is it premature for me to be worried about this running back position? Like, I've thought that the numbers game, Sean has talked about this too, especially once they signed Nick Chubb. I thought the numbers game that they had at running back was fascinating to me, or at least just the way Chubb kind of, just the possibility of him kind of changes the numbers game. But now, as the guys are like in and out of health, if you will, and I know that Damian Pierce is back now and seems like he's on the right track, I don't know what to make of this running back group. Like, I'm a little bit concerned about it.
And it extends even further than just the running backs, because when you get to the fullback position with British Brooks and Jakob Johnson, who's, I think he's now listed as a tight end on the depth chart, it extends into the tight ends room. And the hard part of all of this is that special teams is going to play a huge factor, and then it's really hard to Right, okay, let me tell you exactly who Frank Ross feels good about in the special teams group and what they provide. That's where I think Frank Ross ultimately ends up probably being the key decision maker for a lot of these position battles at the back end. Gumbawale, Jakob Johnson, British Brooks, those guys are, it's whatever they provide on special teams, and if Frank Ross has to make a decision on a couple of them.
One more from D'Amico Ryans asked about starters or playing time in this first preseason game against the Minnesota Vikings. This was D'Amico Ryans talking about guys that are going to be on sort of different timelines and different workloads in this game.
We'll have a handful of guys who won't see action in the game. It'll be a mix. Everybody's kind of on their own plan, but we'll have a handful of guys who won't see time at all. Then we'll have a certain group of guys who are limited. So it's just a lot of different guys in different categories there, but you'll see most of our young guys playing versus the Vikings.
Yeah, Seth, I always want to see guys play. Just the fan in me, and especially like when you haven't had football in a long time. Like I'm always going to lean toward wanting guys to play, but I understand this one. Like this makes sense.
And especially the joint practices, I think, matter to a lot more coaches these days. So this joint practice with Carolina, you're able to get CJ way more reps with the ones against different guys, different competition, and without the risk of injury. It's not nearly as great. So, and you can also, the great thing about the joint practices that coaches love is you can put them in specific situations. You know, a quarterback might play an entire first half, they could score three touchdowns, but not get any red zone snaps because they're all deep shots or something. So you get more of a look of guys in critical situations than you do in a preseason game without the risk of injury, without as much of a risk of injury.
The Astros are back in action tonight on Apple TV. They got the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. Hunter Brown on the mound. Wanted to mention that before we got out of headlines. Those are your headlines for today. But coming up next, Seth Payne talked to his old teammate D'Amico Ryans for about 20 minutes yesterday. We're going to hear that conversation next.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.